Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Gianna Rayburn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori and Maine interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show's for you. Hi, Izzy. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi.
So happy to have you here. Tell us what you've been up to.
I'm so excited to be here. Mostly, I've been putting together this challenge, which is what we were talking about when you invited me to come on, called Read What You Own, because I personally, like every other reader, I feel like, is overwhelmed with how many books I've purchased since, like, especially since 2020. Mm-hmm. Like, it kind of increased exponentially in 2020, and I realized that I was not reading the books I own, and instead was circulating, like, 5 books in and out of KU and reading the same ones and keeping like 15 checked out that I've had for months at a time, or, you know, oh, I got this on sale, it just came out, and then it's 2 years later and I still haven't read it. Things like that. So I've been working on making that challenge and getting all that stuff together, and it just finally kicked off here at the beginning of January, where basically the challenge is for 3 months to focus on reading books you already own in your Kindle, physical, Audible, Libro FM, wherever your books are, library or the library holds you already have checked out, even. Because, like, I have that problem too, that deliver later is a dangerous thing sometimes when I'm like, I don't want to read this right now, but maybe in 7 days I do. Where I just keep, again, cycling the same books through and not actually getting to the ones that I'm like, I really want to read this. And then reading the shiny thing over there on the other side, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been doing that a lot lately, just kind of gathering all my data for it and embarrassing myself publicly for the world.
So I got a question. How mm-hmm. do you come up with a plan? Because I don't know about you, but I have thousands of books on my Kindle, like thousands of books.
Yeah, no, I do too. I do too. Like, that's why I shared my shame. I was like, listen, no one is alone here. Yeah. Because for every person who's like, I only have 50, there's multiples of us who are like, I have thousands. I personally took my planning for this. I went to my members and was like, give me prompts. And every month for the next 3 months, I'm using one of the prompts my members voted on to theme my reading around. So this month, my main focus is getting through the oldest books on every platform,
mm-hmm. oh, gosh.
which is going to be an experiment, because I do feel like I'm going to be like, I do not want to read this for a lot of them. And you know what? That's okay. I'm going to DNF them if I don't like them.
Yeah.
It's a thing. So that was my method, is I did that. And then February's theme is pink covers. I don't have a ton of pink covers though. So we'll see how that goes. And then like March, I'm doing like a random number generator. So I'm just going to randomly generate a number to pick from my physical bookshelves. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to get like locations from people to like, you know, pinpoint me places. And then also randomly generate numbers and look at my like spreadsheet of every single book I own.
Wait.
And pick from there.
How did you come up with this spreadsheet for a single book that you own? And now my question is Kindle books. That's what I'm curious for.
So the spreadsheet I purchased on Etsy, I will send you the link to it. Yeah. This girl is like $5. Very much worth it. And I just sat there and I had 2 windows open and typed in every single book I own on my Kindle into that spreadsheet. I haven't done every single book. I did not go back to, I think I got my first Kindle in 2009 or 8.
Yeah.
So like I did not go that far back, but I went back to like 2013-ish because I was like, a lot of the books I have that are like 20, like when I first got the Kindle, I've read. I have no interest in reading, so I've marked them as read at this point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just kind of slowly, like, when we watch TV at night, like, started putting in the info. I was like, okay, this is what you own. And then it has, like, the list number, so I just randomly generate. And I did the same thing for Audible and Libro FM. Like, I input all of the books that I had purchased.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, it's tedious.
Yeah.
But helpful.
Yeah. Well, I think it just gives you an idea, like, you know, I don't know about you, but like I have
every so often I'll see a deal like in the Discord or on Instagram, and I'm like, I go to Amazon and then Amazon informs me, you already bought this book on
all the time. Like, you know, they do the stuff your Kindle days. Like, I'm like, I'm gonna go look. And I have like so many of the books that are always offered on this. And like, it's great. I'm glad they're repeatedly offered. But then I look and I'm like, I never even read this. And I got it 2 years ago on a stuff your Kindle day.
Yeah.
Probably. And I'm like, what? I was like, stop. You cannot just take a book because it's free.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then not read it.
I think some ways, like what it does, I'm in the process of selling all and donating all my physical collection. That's one thing I'm about to downsize. And one thing I noticed is that it's just like be mindful about like what you consume.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're like consume, and it's like, but you're not utilizing, you're not reading.
Yeah,
that, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, you're like, oh, I'm gonna consume this eventually, but I'm also gonna read the 5 other shiny things over here.
Yeah.
And that is my struggle. And that was part of the challenge. She was like, I was like, I want to organize this in a way where like, I can still read my way through the month, but I have like some structure of like, these are the mangas off my shelf I'm picking up. These are the, you know, again, oldest on my TBR, but I'm still going to like dip around to other books on my Kindle. Like, I'm not just going to be like, okay, you're only reading the old, you know, which kind of just lets me mood read through, because I have my Kindle organized in collections for each subgenre of romance and different and non-romance stuff. So I'll just be like, okay, I'm in the mood for whatever paranormal, gonna go in the paranormal collection and be like, what do I have over here, what looks good still, you know, maybe read a few pages. If I don't like it, just mark it as read and move it out of the unread collection, like quickly move on. It doesn't need to be like complicated, you know.
And so collections, you can do that for the Kindle Paperwhite or just the Kindle app?
Oh, okay. You can do it in the Paperwhite. I recommend doing it on the app. It's easier because you can select a bunch versus on the, you can also do it on the computer, but I don't think it's as intuitive, but pretty much on an iPad or your phone is the most intuitive. Yeah. And you just make the collections. And I recommend like a TBR collection and a read collection for each category. Mm-hmm. So that as you read it, you move it from that collection to the other one. And then if you're like, you know, looking for something, like somebody's like, hey, do you have a recommendation? You can be like, oh, hold on, and go look through your collection of red ones and be like, here's a book.
This is so like, I feel like this is like a really good episode of like really good tidbits of like how to organize your Kindle collection, how to use your stuff, how to
read. I mean, it's me organizing my ADHD brain at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Because like when you make videos and content, you're like, oh crap, what did I read and what was the trope? And like, I have, like, you have to put it somewhere.
Yeah.
Otherwise you're never going to remember.
Yeah.
So like, that's my method, is I'm like, okay, if I'm going to do a contemporary rec video, let me go look at my red Kindle contemporaries. Cause it's going to be longer than like the past year on Goodreads.
Yeah.
If I look at like what I've recently read. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's just quicker to be like, okay, here's what I've got.
I love this. All right, so let's chat some book recommendations. Do you have any books to recommend? You know,
yeah, of course. This was fun. So I did a theme, and I decided to go with the books that surprised me last year that I wasn't expecting a ton from, and all of these are on KU, so that you don't spend money on them, and you could, if you were doing the challenge, reward yourself with books easily. Okay, so yeah, I did three that surprised me last year, because I had some standout, like a lot of these will be in my favorites of the year, but like they just were ones I didn't expect to love as much as I did, if that makes sense. Like I picked them up on like that whim of like I saw a funny TikTok about it, or just like a snippet, and I was like, ooh, I'm curious. But then I often those books I hate. So I was like, this is so exciting, these are bad. Which sounds so mean, like no, but like in a good way. I just feel like sometimes you know you get the snippet and like that's the only good thing in the book.
Yeah,
like that's the best moment and you're like, oh crap, why did I pick this up?
Because TikTok told you, you know.
I know and TikTok tells you sometimes just like you need to read the thing, so you do. So the first one is called The Crescent Spell by Zoe Abrams. Mm-hmm. This is a fantasy romance why choose. If you are a fan of Howl's Moving Castle in particular, this has like a very inspired world by that. But again, why choose romance? So there's three different heroes, and we follow a girl's journey as she finds out she has magic powers and has to like kind of go on the run with these guys in this house that moves around, and also learn about like the magical world that's been like kept out of the city she comes from. So she like leaves that and is like learning a lot of things that were kind of just kept from them. where they live, like, magic's not as much of a thing as it is, like, outside the bubble of their city. So they go on the run, and there's, like, a lot of intrigue, political intrigue-y stuff, where, like, the queen wants her, and, like, they trap her, and she has to go through trials, and we end the book with her finishing her trials, and I'm, like, dying for the sequel. But it was one of those things where I was, like, I'm a big fan of Howl's Moving Castle and all the Studio Ghibli movies, so I was, like, this is either going to be amazing, or I'm going to be angry. And I left it just, like, this was so fun, and it gave me everything I wanted from, like, that fantasy romance that isn't just, like, fairies. Because I personally, like, get really bored of just, like, fairy fantasy romance. Like, I want different stuff, I guess, if that makes sense. And this was just, like, that nice change of pace with, like, witches and wizards and more magic system stuff than, like, you normally get in a romance. But still not, like, a ton. I mean, it's not, like, fantasy level, like, you know, in-depth magic systems. But, like, just a nice level. And it had really fun writing and really fun little movie tie-in bits that I absolutely loved. Like, it's one of those things where if you've watched the movie and you, like, you love it, you're gonna be like, oh my gosh, that's from the movie. But you're not gonna, like, if you haven't, you're also not gonna be like, what is going on? Like, they didn't stand out in that way where you're like, yeah, you're referencing something I don't get. So that was exciting.
That's so good. As someone who's, like, new to fantasy romance after a 5-year hiatus, I'm picking this one up because it's like, it's not just fairies.
I like my fairies, but I just, like, sometimes you want, you know, witches and wizards and, like, more just different.
Yeah.
Like, I wish people played in that category more beyond, like, fairies. Yeah. Which is what I feel like is all we get. And it's fine. It happens. The next one's a short little novella called The Four Leaf by Lee Jacot. Mm-hmm. I do not like Friends to Lovers. This is a Friends to Lovers book. So the fact that I loved this says a lot. And I forced so many of my friends to read this book last year. I was like, you have to read it. I promise. You're not going to be mad. You got to read it. This follows two friends who grew up together. Their parents owned a hotel called The Four Leaf. And they have since inherited the hotel and are running the hotel. It's two sisters and a boy. Like, the sisters and the boy who are friends as kids. And one of the sisters has always had a crush on him, but, like, he ran off and, like, was playing rugby and doing all this stuff, like, traveling. So, like, they never really played out their tension together. And it opens, like, early on, he accidentally sees her masturbating. So that's, like, a great setup to their sexual tension, right? And then it turns into that they both, like, primal play and he chases her all over. And it unlocked my primal play love that I discovered this last year. I love a good book with a good chase. Like, it's just so fun and it's so different. Like, it's a kink we don't get often in romance. Like, we're getting it more now, but it's definitely one that I was like, we don't get this enough.
Yeah.
Like, we do not. And I was like, I need more of this. And it has to be done just right. And this was done, like, perfectly. And, like, it made sense why they couldn't be together originally. And, like, it took time for them to, like, get to having their feelings expressed to each other, if that makes sense. It wasn't just like, oh, I've just always had a crush on you, but I never said a word about it. It was just kind of like, well, you were gone. So, like, how was I supposed to tell you that, like, I liked you when you're traveling for rugby all over the, you know, world or whatever. But this one, yeah, the chases in this were fantastic. And just my favorite kind of thing where, like, they get caught doing something, like, masturbating by the person before there's, like, anything happening. You're always like, oh, this is going to be fun how this plays out.
Yes, that's so good.
Let's see. Okay, and then the next one is J.L. Seeger's Again novella. I need to read her full-length book. I picked this up because her book Restore Me is, like, 500 pages. And I said, well, I want to read this, but I'm not committing to your books without reading something shorter from you first, because what if I hate it? Like, I don't want to set the time commitment for a 500 page book and then, like, hate it, you know, read half of it and hate it and be like, well, I should just finish this because it's 500 pages. So I was like, oh, I'll pick up your novella. And I fell in love with her writing so fast on this, and also her plotting, because the amount she packed into this little novella was mind-boggling. This follows a couple that used to be married and they were, like, childhood sweethearts, got a divorce. Their siblings are getting married to each other and they're going to Punta Cana for the wedding. And he upgrades her seat to first class, so she has to sit next to him for the flight, because he's determined to make her talk to him again and fix the problems that happened in their marriage. So we're getting, like, a second chance at love and, like, fixing the marriage that fell apart, because the reasons it fell apart were based pretty much on like her making some assumptions and him not properly communicating. He's like, no, I fucked up. I gotta fix this. Like, you are the love of my life. I have to fix this. It's so good. It's so good.
So good. There's something to be said about divorced couples having a second chance and be like, actually, we're going to fix the problem, you know?
Well, and I think it should, like, as somebody, like, if you've been in a relationships or in a long-term relationship, especially, like, you know, you're going to fight. Like, things happen. Yeah. But, like, a second chance marriage, like, or marriage in trouble for me, like, it hits that spot, I think, because we don't get them a lot either.
Yeah.
And when we do, either they're really messy and silly, or they feel like, this book made me cry. And I don't cry at books. So, like, I just was like, this is so good. Big, big content warning, though, for infertility discussions.
Yeah.
And that was part of their marriage issues. And I think her other book also has infertility in it. So just, like, know that going in if that's one of your, like, nopes. Or hard to handle things, because it's, you know, I get it, that's a hard topic. And I was just like, it was done so well, though. I cried and I was like, I love this book. So I cannot wait to read her other book, probably next month.
Yeah, I have Restore Me as one of those books. I found it on Script for the audio because I figured, mm-hmm. like, it's a long book, I can actually handle audio. And
yeah.
So, but I think the other part is intimidated. It's a 15 to 16 hour audio. And I'm like, mm-hmm. you spend 16 hours with this book. But now you're telling me that she does get some good plotting.
I think so. I mean, I know Brie loved it from In Love and Words also.
Yeah.
And so. She's why I realized it was on Script. And I was like, oh, well, I'm going to listen to it soon then. Yeah. But I also was like, yeah, I just, when I first saw that book hanging around, I was like, oh, I do want to read this. Restore Me sounds so good. And I was like, oh, you have a novella? It's like, yes, please. Yes, please. I do not want to start with your 500 page book. But yeah, I was surprised. And as a debut, like, that's her second book. I was like, Restore Me is her first book. I was like, this is, she's good. She's got some craft, like, going there.
There we go. Oh, so good. So Izzy, tell us where you can find you online.
Okay. Let's see. I am pretty much everywhere, I feel like. I don't know if there's a social I'm not on, but my Instagram, TikTok, Twitter are all Isabel is all right. And then my YouTube is Happy for Now. So those are mainly where I'm at. I'm mostly on YouTube and I'm not super, super active on Instagram. I try, but it's a lot of effort. And then I'm more active, I would say, on TikTok than Instagram at this point, because it's just easier to me to just post like a quick video than to like take a picture. I don't know why. The logic isn't there, but it, for some reason in my brain.
It is okay. So tell us about your channel. Like, what kind of content can we find your channel?
Mm-hmm. So I talk mostly about romance books pretty extensively, but I do also read other genres. And I also read a lot of manga, and I love talking about the manga I read and stuff and sharing that with people and helping people like explore that format of reading. Because like, I do think it's, well, it's coming back big right now on BookTube, but for the last 2 years, it's been something that I've just absolutely loved falling back into after like leaving it when I was no longer a teen with my parents able to buy it all for me, because it can be expensive. But yeah, I talk a lot about romance. I would say I lean heavy on like monsters, paranormal, and other things. I don't read a ton of historicals or any of that, like more contemporary stuff. And I'm trying to read more historicals this year. We'll see how that goes, because I just burned out on them like in 2020, big time. So I've just like not really touched them, but I read pretty widely and across the board. I love my Kindle Unlimited books also. Definitely a big source of my reading, but less so this year for 3 months at least, because we've got to get through the books I own.
You got to get through the books you own. You have 20 Kindle Unlimited books in your queue. So I'm assuming you're a full queue. So there's 20 of them.
Yeah. I know. That's the thing. And it's always a full queue. I feel like, you know, again, I feel like I swap the same five spots out and the 15 to bottom.
There's a method to my madness for my KU is that I have different wish lists, mm-hmm. and I have like different wish lists for KU books, so then I can actually go back to reference them. Mm-hmm. And my only problem is like I'm afraid of if I don't read them, they might just leave KU.
Mm-hmm. So I want to say fear. I like check the thing out. I check them out then, and I'm like, okay, I can't return it until I read it, because if this leaves, I'm gonna be really sad.
Yeah, it happened to me. Icebreaker was like a big hit, like mm-hmm. a big hit, book talk, like a few months ago. And so I borrow it, and then I was like, it left KU because it got bought by Simon Schuster, and I was like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, I was like, I got the audio and I was like, let me just see it. And I went to see the book, and the book went from free $3.99 to $9.99, which I think it's private robbery.
That is wild.
Yes, I think it's like it's I have strong feelings about this whole pricing, you know.
Do you feel like they really did that much to it either to then re-release it probably and up the price?
No, they just produced the audio. That's what they did, which is like another way. And then
that's wild.
They did not edit, because I ended up reading it, because I ended up finding out that I went to my Kindle and lo and behold, it was still on KU. And I was like, oh, I still have it. So I read the book, and the book is okay. You know, it has its problems, has its issues, but they didn't do editing. They didn't do, you know, like, the whole developing of the book. They just like bought the rights and then they just like upped the price.
No, and that's annoying, because like Bloom Books,
yeah,
has been buying. Don't ask me why my brain keeps wanting to make them Source Books, and I'm like, not Source Books.
Source Books owns Bloom Books, so it's,
I know, and I'm like, I know it's like not the same, but whatever. They've been keeping everything in KU that they're picking up.
Yes, but I actually saw one author talk about, they may keep the rights. So Sourcebooks or Bloom Books is owning the print rights. And so they're distributing to different places. And then the author can keep the rights for eBooks. And so if they keep the rights, they might just keep it on KU.
I think that's, I like that part of what Bloom Books is doing a lot. I think it's smart. And I'm surprised.
That's where people are finding the books. People are finding the books through KU. They're not finding them like because they're paid like $9.99 on a book.
Yeah, I know. Like, no, thank you. The thing is it's $9.99, and then it'll drop at some point to $3.99 again or $2.99 to buy. Yeah. So it's like, why would you spend that much? There's no point.
Yeah. So, but that's Kindle life right now.
I know you have to like jump on things if you feel like they're going to be popular, because it might not be there in a month.
Yeah. So, well, thank you, Izzy, for being on the show.
Yes, absolutely.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com. Did you know you can purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore? With Libro.fm, you can pick up more than 250,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from real booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company, you know the name, but you'll be part of a different story, one that supports your local community. If you're new to audiobooks, there's a perfect way to squeeze into more reading to your busy life. Listen with the free Libro.fm app while you do your chores, walk your dog, relax at home. The Watch Read Next podcast has a special offer for our listeners. Get 2 audiobooks on Libro.fm for the price of 1 with your first month of membership. Use code WATCHREADNEXT. This offer is only valid for new members in Canada and the US. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more, or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.